Hello there, welcome to Music Ally Focus with me, Music Ally's editor, Joe Sparrow. And in this episode, we speak to two people from TikTok who have helped turn classical music into viral content. Doreena Connolly, head of artist and label partnerships, joins me to talk about TikTok's direction and strategy in this area. And she's joined by label partnerships manager Lisa Skepner, who is one of the go-to TikTok people when it comes to classical music. I asked them what it is about classical that holds users' attentions. Is it the song? Is it the performance, the context of the song's use, or the artist? And what can non-classical artists learn from all of this that can be used in the way they use TikTok too? All of this coming up. Now, each Music Ally Focus episode analyzes one meaningful music business story at a time. And so this podcast is probably going to be quick. It should take about the same amount of time as David Rush could eat 2,500 peas with a cocktail stick. The aptly named Mr. Rush ate 49 in 30 seconds in 2018, a visual spectacle of micro-vegetable mastication that you may well have subsequently seen on a platform like TikTok. Now, talking of gobbling things, TikTok has eaten up the attention of people in every area of the music industry, who now look to the short-term video app for A&R, marketing, music discovery, audience building, and fan nurturing too. TikTok is also, it seems, a platform that can conjure life into just about any genre of music from any time period. So what about music that's outside of the pop sphere? We talked to Doreena and Lisa about how classical music has connected on TikTok and the impact of that connection on the classical artists behind it all. And also they talked to me a bit more widely about what it means for users to be discovering new old music in this way and what the longer term impacts of that are beyond short-term spikes of attention around novel genres. Okay, let's go and talk to Doreena and Lisa right now.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome two guests to the Music Ally Focus podcast this week. I've got Doreena Connolly and Lisa Skepner, both of TikTok. Hello, Doreena and Lisa.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
How's it going?
Great to see you both, and thanks for joining us. So we're going to talk a little bit about the use of classical music and the popularity of classical music on TikTok and what you're doing with that, and also sort of to branch out from that little bit to talk about how users are discovering music and catalog music and things like that on TikTok at the moment. So we're going to go narrow and broad. But first, before we do that, can you both explain briefly who you are and what you do at TikTok, please?
So hi, I'm Lisa. I've been at TikTok for almost 4 years. I'm in the music partnerships team. So what I do kind of changes on an everyday basis. There's not always the same day every day at TikTok, but basically what we try to do in the music partnerships team here is to help artists build their TikTok, to engage with fans and basically find new audiences and kind of make their music discoverable for new audiences. That's very wide, so I'll give a few examples of the kind of things we've worked on so far in the past couple months. It's everything from when you talked about catalog music. We've, for example, onboarded Wham back in April, which was an awesome catalog onboarding with Andrew himself.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, cool. And we also do, you know, different genres as well. We onboarded Jay Huss, big in the rap UK community. So it was all about advising and helping with their content and, you know, making it best for TikTok because it's different for every artist and they have to do it in their own authentic way. So that's some things we've done. And then we also do something like Promoted Lives we did for Pride. And that's basically a TikTok live stream on TikTok that we've worked a lot with. So there we paired up artists with creators to talk about Pride themes, which we have a specific hashtag around Pride for artists called Queer Sounds. And then from there, we also do guest playlists and we do hashtags like my colleague Shima, who's worked around hashtag South Asian to promote South Asian artists. And there we did a guest playlist with Renau. So just to show that there's a lot of different things we do at TikTok, from guest playlists to lives, to hashtags, etc.
All right. Great. Thank you. And Doreena, what do you do?
I think Lisa summed it up fantastically there. I'm not sure how much more I can add to
that.
No pressure at all. So my role at TikTok is head of label and artist partnerships. So broadly, plus one to everything that Lisa said in terms of how me and the wider team work, but largely my responsibilities are building and maintaining our industry relationships. So that's across labels, distributors, artists, management companies, anyone who wants to come and speak to us, really, because we want to educate and empower the industry around our promo opportunities, around our content strategies, and how best to make the most of the very powerful platform that we have at our disposal. So yeah, we wear a lot of different hats here at TikTok, but I think that's a good summary of what we all do here.
Okay, well, let's jump straight into talking about classical music on TikTok, because of course, you know, we've moved a long way on now from the sort of the old perception of TikTok about it being quite narrow in the terms of the content. And we've seen recently how, you know, anything, any kind of music, any type of content works if it's in the right conditions on TikTok. But let's just talk about the impact of classical music on TikTok. Why classical music? Why does it work? And who's listening to it?
Yeah, great question, Joe. So I think I'm going to start as to why and how and everything with classical music. I think we'll start with some stats, because I think that's amazing how much it's grown. Since November 2022, the hashtag itself, classical music, had 2 billion, that's with a big B, billion video views. And now it's at around double that, 4.2, I think, or four, around 4 billion video views. I think the reason I'm giving this is that hashtags are kind of the hub for discovering new talent and established artists as well. And that's what classical music is all about. So I think it's been something we've been supporting year on year. I can kind of share all the different campaigns we've done if that's of interest. But we've pushed classical music 3 times over now the last couple of years with different artists, from Anna Lapwood to Hans Zimmer to Esther Abrami.
More so than anything, we just want the TikTok community to have access to the most diverse range of music possible. So in terms of why is classical music popular on TikTok, well, that's very much down to the TikTok community. So we facilitate success on TikTok. We don't dictate it. So in particular with classical music, we're very aware that it might not be the most accessible genre of music in the traditional sense. So you don't necessarily hear classical music in the top 40 on the radio. There aren't many big festivals where you'd go and find a classical music stage, etc. But on TikTok, music discovery is seamless, and it's really simple. You know, you can be on your For You page for 2 minutes and you can consume, you know, 50-60 creations, the majority of which have music. And if there's creations on there that feature classical music that you like and you enjoy the content, and you hear classical music maybe in a way that you haven't experienced it before, and if you're interested in that and you start to engage more with it, the nature of the platform, you know, would dictate that you see more and more of it. So we are very proud of the fact that we've been able to facilitate success for classical music and for classical artists on TikTok, but ultimately it's very much the community on TikTok that have said, hey, this is awesome. We're interested in this. We want to see more.
And what is it they're interested in? This is a bit of a nebulous question, because there's a lot of elements to something that becomes successful on TikTok, but specifically with classical music, what are they looking for? Is it the music being used in a context that they're not sort of familiar with? Is it the sort of spotlight on a particular classical performer? What is it that scratches that itch?
I think it's very different for every artist, but I think it would be great to highlight some examples here. So you have someone like Esther Abrami, who signed to Sony Music, who's an incredible artist on TikTok. And she basically kind of brings this whole classical music spin with the current trends in app and blends in humor, shares her everyday day in the life of a classical music artist, which, you know, we always talk about sharing behind the scenes, day in the life content. And I think Esther is someone who does that really well, but also with an area of humor. But then you have someone completely different, Anna Lapwood, who's an organist, who shares more educational type content. I think, again, for that, users are just keen to learn. We had a big campaign over the last couple of years. Hashtag learn on TikTok was big. And she basically does react to comment videos where she shares insights on how the organ works, how it is to be that type of performer with that type of instrument. So I think it really depends. It can be you're in TikTok with classical artists for educational purposes, to learn. You're there to have fun. We are an entertainment platform, first and foremost, as well. And then you have the big artists, established artists like Andrea Bocelli or Hans Zimmer or Carl Jenkins, who are just sharing, or just, I should say, are sharing amazing performance videos in an authentic way.
Right.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, awesome answer, Lisa, I think the compelling content can take lots of different forms. So whether or not you're a classical artist or an R&B artist or a pop artist or whatever kind of artist that you are, I think it's hugely compelling, and we talk about this a lot, it's hugely compelling for our audience to see artists use TikTok in the way that they use TikTok. So seeing, for example, Hans Zimmer do run a duet contest on his, or a call to action, I should say, rather than contest, on his account. That's the kind of thing that TikTok creators do all the time. Or seeing a classical artist go live, or seeing a classical artist do a stitch, or Anna Lapwood, for instance, again, using filters and using CapCut templates. That in and of itself is creating the compelling content first and foremost. So when I talked about me and my team's role within TikTok, and mentioned that education is a huge part of that, we spend a lot of time educating the industry on best practice when it comes to TikTok. We also have the artist handbook, which is available for anyone to download and take a look at. And it really just recommends best practices in terms of the compelling content that you can make on TikTok. And we recommend using filters and creating 3 to 4 times a week, and also being very authentic and seeing artists of a certain, who are artists in a certain genre of music, which has maybe had a bit of a reputation, possibly quite unfairly, but a reputation for being a little bit less accessible. Seeing a classical artist or a concert pianist, or, you know, Esther Abrami, an incredibly talented violinist, talk about what they like to do every day. And a lot we're talking about, you know, how much she loves tea and how excited she is using a CapCut template to perform at the Royal Albert Hall, etc. That in and of itself is making it accessible. Like, people are like, wow, this is, you know, this person is using TikTok the way I use TikTok, or is creating on TikTok the way all of my favorite creators are creating on TikTok. It's agnostic to the fact that they're classical artists or not classical artists. But what really is shining through in terms of the success of classical music on TikTok is people are really engaging with the music. It's like the compelling content is making it accessible, but it's the music that's shining through, and it's people's love for that music that they're engaging with. So it's a combination of very compelling content in the way that we try to educate the industry on how to make compelling content, and then having classical music is the theme behind that, which is drawing people in, those that are interested in that type of music, and that's what they're engaging in and consuming.
Classical music is famously different to pop music, and it's a challenge that a lot of people have faced in the industry when trying to build platforms and guide people in to classical music. You mentioned there it's perceived differently. Of course, classical music is focused on the composition. If you search for a particular type song, you'll find dozens and hundreds maybe of versions of it. And that's kind of overwhelming in a way. So what you're saying here is that it's sort of shifting part of the focus, or at least expanding the focus, onto the performer as well. You mentioned there that, and that's obviously holding the attention of users, right? So you it's sort of straddling that divide a little bit. You mentioned there about that, like, people are enjoying then the music. So what is the sort of perhaps measurable impact of that? Obviously, you can see people using the clips of music to do their own, make their own TikToks. But is there anything sort of that suggests any sort of long-termism here? You know, are people, I know you've only just launched TikTok Music, for instance, but are people jumping out in those territories and listening to more classical music than they did before? Or is there any way you sort of measure the sort of longer term impact of that?
I think in terms of longer term impact, I mean, that's certainly something we can speak to. But In terms of the success, firstly, in platform. So as you mentioned, and just to maybe go a bit deeper on that, it's not only the classical artists posting on TikTok and drawing attention to the genre, etc. It's also the creators on TikTok that are using classical music to create with as well. I think that's definitely a measure of enough success for sure. How many creations that we're seeing from a particular piece of music. So what we have seen is that classical music is really well placed for short form video creation. So, you know, not all of it, but the composition of classical music serves as a backing track for creations that can be of anything, really. So diverse storytelling, content, any type of content, really. You know, you can find a classical track to really, because it's so beautifully dramatic and demonstrative, right? Classical music works really well for short form video creation. Like we've seen with, it was iNaudi actually, with the iNaudi Experience track. So what we saw with that track was creators were using that soundtrack photography moments and also sharing fashion content as well. So it really did lend itself for that.
The Dorian Wargo Cornfield Chase, again, there are people sharing a lot of different, their favorite memories. So I think it really depends on each track. And like Dorina said, it's a great show of strength in app as well on all the creations of the tracks and people engaging with it. Sometimes you'll have deeper themes also around storytelling. But even recently, if we look at, we launched classical music in July and we had an Irish artist, Jamie Duffy, who had been posting quite a bit and then started finding a lot of success and started charting, I believe, because he shared it on TikTok, in Kazakhstan. So, wow. And that was just from like posting, you know, or just, I should say again, from his incredible posting and sharing and storytelling with his song, Rialata, I think it's called. So again, I think that's kind of the beauty of where it can go. And there's no really limits to it. And to Dorina's point, the thing that's so great with classical music is it's just so majestic. It's so wide. And that does well in so many different areas and content themes on TikTok.
Yeah.
And in terms of long-term success as well, I mean, one of the most special things I think about TikTok is its unpredictability. Like, we're never static. We're never standing still. You know, there's always something that's new to us even that's happening. But there isn't a magic formula. There will be artists that have found some success with classical music on TikTok that will go on and have, you know, very long and fruitful careers, of course, and that will have started possibly on TikTok. So we have huge examples of plenty of artists across lots of different genres that have gone on to build music careers and record deals, etc. From TikTok. But of course, that's completely unpredictable. But what we can suggest is how people can best utilize that platform if the opportunities are becoming apparent there. So in terms of the catalog space, so not only artists that are finding success for the first time in 2023 on TikTok, but also catalog artists that are finding success on TikTok with tracks that have been out for years and years as well. So it's not just exclusive to brand new artists by any means, and we're absolutely seeing that with classical music.
The one thing I want to add on long-term success as well, just earlier, I don't know if this is a success metric long-term in itself, but there was a really nice, because we just did the Anna Lapwood classical music campaign in July. She was our cover feature artist. There was a Tatler article that came out that she's the new, it's not directly quoted, but Anna Lapwood TikTok organist as the new Taylor Swift classical. I think that's quite beautiful. So if it's not a goal to be Taylor Swift, of course, but I think that's a great for an emerging, developing, upcoming.
Doing the Taylor Swift of anything is a pretty good.
I would love to be the Taylor Swift of something.
the measure of your success, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned catalog there. You could argue that classical is the ultimate catalog because it's so old and deep and revered and there's so much, so many variants of individual songs. What can we learn here about, you mentioned a few sort of pop music examples of songs, you know, to come back and sort of re-engage the new audience. What is the long-term scope then for artists, this with classical in mind, but also those pop examples in mind? You know, we're seeing this happen again, and catalog is coming alive again. But is this, how is this going to relate to classical? How is this going to relate to pop? Is that going to work differently?
I think more so than anything else, what we're learning about the success of catalog, be that classical catalog or pop catalog or, you know, hip hop catalog, whatever it is that great songs are timeless. And we're learning more and more that our community just loves great music. Like, they're very genre agnostic, but they're also very agnostic in terms of age of a track. Like, if our community like a track, they're going to engage with it and they're going to create with it. So in terms of long-term success for various artists, I mean, what we do say is that if you are an artist of any time that is seeing some virality or some reaction to your track on TikTok, then dive in, you know, like Rod did, just join the platform, start reacting, start driving it, and take that opportunity, because the community are telling you, hey, we really love that track. They might want to hear more and they might want to engage with your content. So it's important to kind of take the opportunity when it's put in front of you to try and facilitate, again, that long-term or longer-term success. But again, remembering TikTok is unpredictable. There isn't a magic formula. But if you see your track is reacting, then dive in and get involved.
And I think just to add to that, sorry, Joe, right now I think we're seeing Kylie Minogue is just amazing with Padam Padam, and that's new music. So I think there's really a blend of, you know, catalog and new and all together, and just, again, the discoverability and leaning in and, again, engaging with fans when if you're up for it, ready for it, jump in.
You mentioned that the unpredictability. It's a platform where trends change, interests move, new things emerge from nowhere, and you know, things change remarkably quickly. That's in its nature. You've been running this, you've been supporting classical in a specific sense for 3 years. But are these spikes of interest in classical, is this a long-term trend now, where there is always going to be a component of, there's going to be an area of TikTok and its users, creators and consumers that skew towards classical? Or is it an example of TikTok trends sort of restlessly moving from here to there, looking for novelty, and it landed on classical and for a moment it'll bubble up and then it'll calm down again?
I think with any trend, we'll see peaks and troughs, really. So it's quite normal for that kind of activity. That if there's something else going on, such as BBC Proms, etc., or if, you know, in terms of in-app, that on the sounds page, we might be running a classical themed playlist, for instance, like we had with Hans Zimmer not so long ago, thanks to Lisa's hard work. So when we resurface or surface classical content on the platform, or there's something external going on that maybe would pique people's interest in it a little bit more to search for it on the platform, of course we'll see a little bit more of a peak. But I think the success that we're seeing definitely dictates that it's not, you know, interest in classical music is not just going to drop off, I don't think. And it will be as successful on the platform as our community would like it to be, as long as they're still creating with it and engaging with it. And the same goes for classical artists. The more classical artists are leaning in and using the platform and bringing people into their world in the same way we would encourage any artist, once the community are reacting and engaging, then that's what really facilitates the success.
And I think to add to that, it kind of goes back to our, you know, you were talking about the unpredictability of it. And that's why we have this artist handbook to kind of hone in some tips and best practices and tips on how to be consistent.
So in terms of, you know, classical, let's say classical artists, okay, they are performers, or they write classical music and perform it. And this is something that they're thinking, well, maybe this would work for me. What is your sort of actionable advice to them? What works particularly well for classical artists, or classical artists related to TikTok users, to build and maintain a fan base or attention and visibility? What works for them and their music particularly well on TikTok?
Yeah, I think this is across all artists. I wouldn't say too much on classical, but it works for all, always live music content. You know, everyone wants to see a different angle, and sometimes seeing it from the stage rather than audience gives us a peek into their more behind the scenes special moments. All that's one content pillar. Again, we saw particularly well with Hans Zimmer, and because he's really skilled at this and did really well, it was these duets. He duetted a fan that said, imagine if Hans Zimmer duets me writing the score right now. And then he did, and then that exploded and got thousands of views. So I think duets is another thing. I think a lot of our content pillars and plans revolve around hashtags, one being hashtag new music. Again, sharing perhaps how you wrote it or previewing it on TikTok briefly before release date. And then finally, a big one that we've really been pushing is behind the song. I think that's, again, sharing how you create a song, how it's like being in a studio. I think everyone forgets we are so privileged in the music industry. We have a bit more insight on how what goes behind a record, what goes behind a soundtrack, a song, composition. But for the average user out there, they don't. So I think we have this hashtag behind the song, and it's linked to a new product feature where we pin videos on the sounds page where artists share their behind the song. Again, so applicable to classical music where there's so much more intricacy and where scores are much more complex. And we've seen that education content works well with Anna Lapwood, how she does these explanation videos. So those are some of the best tips and practices that we give. But needless to say, it's really what works for you as an artist and being authentic to yourself.
Three things to just very much bear in mind is creativity, authenticity, and self-expression. They're always the pillars of great content. And also, please do read our artist handbook. We want to facilitate as much success as we can, and best practice is really the foundation of that.
All right. Well, I will link to the handbook beneath the podcast, and also the classical hashtags, and people can explore and have a look for themselves. But before I let you go, Dorina and Lisa, one final question. We've talked about music and the power of music. If both of you could only pick one piece of music each, maybe not to use on TikTok, but just to have with you for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Mm. I'm very biased. I have to say ABBA because I'm Swedish.
There is no judgment here. You can go down the simple route like that. Absolutely fine. Yes. Okay.
Wow, that is a very good question. I'm gonna say "Ordinary Love" by Sade.
Okay. You're the first person to mention Sade.
100%. One of the just most incredible pieces of music I've ever heard, and that will be my. Oh, I didn't want to end on a dark note saying I'll play that at my funeral because I won't actually have much to do with that. But I hope that...
That it'll be played at your funeral.
I might write that down.
It could be an opportunity for a very final prank. But yes, okay, I will,
and
I will
Joe,
put a link to...
yours? What's yours, Joe?
Oh, no, you see, I don't reveal this.
Oh, okay.
I get to ask the questions, you see. Yeah, I know, it's not fair. But I will link to Sade and ABBA beneath the podcast as well, and we can listen to that whilst reading the handbook. How about that? All right, Dorina and Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe.
All right, that's it. Thanks again to Dorina and Lisa for joining me here on the Focus podcast, and apologies that Dorina's audio was occasionally a bit glitchy. The podcast gremlins ate some of her recordings and we had to patch in a backup here and there. Not that it matters too much, because, of course, the value of those words are much more important than audio fidelity. And with that in mind, if you did enjoy that podcast, please share it on with someone else who you think would get something out of it. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, as ever, please do drop me a line. It's Joe, J-O-E, at musically.com. And if you haven't signed up for it yet, you should sign up to our weekly email called The Knowledge, which rounds up bits and pieces of all the best analysis, news, marketing insight, and skills from across Music Ally's broad and industry-leading range of services. So sign up and impress your boss. Links to that and the things that Lisa and Dorina mentioned are in the podcast description, as always. So that is it. Thanks for listening and joining us here on the Music Ally Focus podcast, as ever. I've been Joe Sparrow, you've been you, and until next time, farewell.